What would you say is your prophetic witness? What are you called to witness to about the love of God, the justice of God in this world? We have quite the readings this morning. We have David in his glory dancing, although hardship and heartache lurk in the form of Michael, daughter of Saul. There is the piece from Ephesians about being sealed with the sign of the cross and being marked as Christ's own forever. And then we have the story of the beheading of John the Baptist, which has been recalled in art over the centuries. It shows that when you are a prophet, hardship comes. Hardship comes early. And prophets are often not welcome in their hometown or anywhere once they say what God has given them to say. I brought a couple of things that are show and tell this morning. And for those of you that don't come during the weekdays, especially on Tuesday morning, these are two important books that we use. And it is about the martyrs and about the saints of the Episcopal Church and beyond. The Episcopal Church has lesser feasts and fasts, which if you look through the days of the year, often many are commemorated over the centuries. Even some 20th century saints are in this book. It's revised at each general convention, and more people are at it. General convention is every 3 years in the Episcopal Church, and our own Alma Bell is a deputy from the diocese, a great honor, and she is out in Anaheim. And I believe every 3 years they bring more saints for our lesser feasts and fasts. So we read on Tuesday morning about the saints that have gone before that are our prophets, and they show us the way. We also read in that morning a book called For All the Saints, which is prayers and reading for Saints Day in the Anglican Church of Canada. And it was interesting, this week we read the story of Thomas More. And I, as things work in the church, this song that Bill picked this morning, Faith of the Martyrs, which has been rewritten just a little bit from Faith of Our Fathers, if you read the little note that comes after it, it says, the Greek term martyr, it translated the New Testament, really means witness. It forms the basis for the English word martyr. This hymn was written as a call for the return of the Church of England to the Roman Catholic Church, and our fathers in the original text referred to those faithful in Rome who had suffered martyrdom. It's interesting because Thomas More lost his life under Henry VIII, and I just want to read you just a piece of who he was. Thomas More was an English lawyer and statesman who was beheaded in 1535. Because he chose loyalty to the Pope over submission to his king, King Henry VIII. But he said this to his daughter when she visited him in prison. God's grace hath strengthened me hitherto and made me content in my heart to lose goods, land, and life also, rather than to swear against my conscience. I think that that's really the key about martyrs and those who are prophets of our faith. They cannot swear against their conscience. And that is so hard because, as you see in the Gospel of Mark, King Herod was very interested in John the Baptizer. He was perplexed when he listened to him. He was uncomfortable. He wanted to hear his word, and it stirred his heart. But when his guests When he was before his guests and his daughter asked for John the Baptizer's head, he didn't want to disappoint his guests. So he went against probably his heart and his conscience. It's so easy to do that in this life when we are forced to be public about who we are and how we feel about the gospel. It makes us uncomfortable. It makes other people uncomfortable. It's hard to be a witness. One of the books that I'm spending time with this summer is Esther DeWall's book about seeking life. And it's about looking at the rule of Saint Benedict in the context of our baptismal vows. And one time, some of the early fathers, well, often they wrote a lot about this piece about becoming a witness to Christ. And where that peace begins is not out there, but within here. One of the early fathers said, "Within yourself you must wage war. The enemy proceeds out of your own heart." There is no escaping the inner struggle when we want to follow Christ. We will be presented again and again situations where we are forced to follow our conscience, our heart, our Lord, or follow what the world, power, authorities would have us do. We share in the sufferings of Christ when we are asked to do that. And the first way that we determine what our prophetic call is in this world, because each of us has a prophetic call as a Christian, is to listen. That's the first word of Saint Benedict, listen. And it means a kind of listening that we're not used to. And it doesn't necessarily always mean silent time away from the world, but it does mean this. Listening as a purpose to alert us what is to follow. It means to make us stop in our tracks and pay attention to what's right before us. And it's a total demand on us and our hearts and our souls. That's frightening. By listening, we're brought face to face with our true self as God has created us. By listening, we are forced to hear the call, even a little piece of the call. And our questions are we ready for this? Are we prepared to listen from a place that is open and not closed, vulnerable and not protected? Do we really want to be touched by the gospel? It's so easy to want to be untouched when we read what happened to John the Baptist, to the prophets, to Jesus, to those difficult passages that ask us to do things we'd rather not do in order to bring God's love to this world. I've been thinking a lot about this. The vestry has been thinking about, well, who are we at Memorial Church as we approach our second 150 years? The constitution to start this church was signed in early December 1859 down at Emmanuel Church. And so we're coming up at the beginnings of who Memorial Church was 150 years ago. What are we now? What is our witness? One of the things that I've been very made aware of this past year is how we are a place that speaks the conscience of the church and the gospel. And that when we are not speaking that conscience, we are uncomfortable and unhappy. That seems to be our call. And it's wonderful when we're all together because we all feel like we're going on a great wave. But when we go out into the wider church as Alma is today, or when any of you all go to into the wider church, Mimi, one of our chalices, was at Lambeth last year, sitting in solidarity with Jean Robinson, who was excluded. And when you're in that position, that's a difficult, uncomfortable position. But you're touched by the gospel if you're able to do that. So as we come to our next 150 years, what might be Memorial's call in the world? We've stood firm on a lot of justice issues over the years. What might be the next one? And we are really about listening to God right now to see what that is. How do we, when we do find our call, how do we know we have the strength to go forward? Next week, we will be baptizing a child of the parish. And in the baptismal vows, after I sign the baby with the sign of the cross and we give the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the sevenfold gifts, I sign the child with the sign of the cross. And I say, "Mary, you are sealed with the sign of the cross and marked as Christ's own forever." And that invisible sign of the cross, which early Christians took because to wear the cross would be death, that cross is our strength. It unites us to the suffering of the prophets, but through their suffering, we're able to suffer to bring justice and love, joy, righteousness to this world. So, there are a whole lot of martyrs and saints that are in this book and this book, There are martyrs and saints that we know personally that never made a book like this, who are our inspiration, who have showed us how to live our conscience. And I believe that that is one of Memorial Church's call, to help each of us to live into our call, following our conscience, which is the love of God. So I ask you this summer to ask yourself these questions. Are you listening for that call to serve? Is it confusing? Are you confusing Jesus with someone else in your life, just as Herod did? He thought maybe John the Baptizer was Jesus and Jesus was John the Baptizer or Elijah. Are you thinking that your Lord is something else than your Lord is? Are you confusing your own life with the life of someone else? Listen, what is your prophetic witness? Take up your cross and follow him. Amen.